Praise the Lord. What a glorious night in the house of the Lord. Trust the word will be a blessing to us tonight and strengthen us. Title of the message, Often Together. I'm going to speak out of Malachi chapter 3, 16 to 18, these three verses that are on my heart. Open our spirit to hear from the Lord tonight. Often together. Bible says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. The Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name, or prized his name, or esteemed his name in the gathering of the saints. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. These are quite the words. What a beautiful passage. Let's break it down tonight. Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Not seldom, not on occasion, not once in a while. This is a call to the fellowship of the saints. This is a call to the house of God. This is a call to gather in the presence of the Lord. And how precious it is, as these words convey, in the sight of the Lord. David said, Psalm 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to worship him, to pray, to be taught the ways of the Lord, to be with the people of God and have my life changed and transformed and worked on continually and refined. One thing, David said, have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David loved the gathering of the people of God. He loved Zion's Hill. He loved the tabernacle of David. He loved the assembling of the saints, and God loved him for it. When David was away due to extenuating circumstances and couldn't be in the house of God, his heart was longing for it. He was pining for the presence of the Lord. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary where God's people gather. In the sanctuary, O Lord, that's where my heart is, to see your power and your glory. My soul thirsts for the congregation of the Lord. My spirit cries out to be in the house of the Lord with the worshiping, praying people of God. I've looked for you in the sanctuary. David knew, as all of us do, that there's something special about the sanctuary, that God's presence comes in a special way in the midst of his worshiping people. There is a presence of God. There are things we can never gain on our own. We have to be in the house of the Lord. There's something special about the sanctuary, and God protects that something special. Luke 24, 50 to 53, Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. He was returning to heaven, going to the Father. This is the final time they would see him until his second coming one day. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They were continually in the temple. They gathered, they sought the Lord, praising and blessing God, encouraging, strengthening, ministering to one another's lives, and above all, ministering to the Lord and worshiping Him. This is the way of the Lord. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Malachi 3:16 again, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. God is listening for certain things. Certain things catch His attention. And He said, my people long to gather together. My people love to be in my presence together, worshiping and seeking me. The Lord hearkened and heard it. The Bible says a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, worshiped the Lord, and that prized or thought upon His name, that exalted His name. A book of remembrance was written before Him. You can get into God's good books, you know. God keeps books. He keeps records. He has a detailed account of every one of our lives. And the Bible says one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of all the deeds that were done in our body, how we lived, how we walked, how we spoke, how we conducted ourselves in this life. God is keeping books, and a book on every one of us. There was a book of remembrance that was written for them that feared the Lord and prized His name. Well, Daniel chapter 7, 9 to 10. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of His head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire, the chariot throne of God. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him. 1,000 thousands ministered to Him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before Him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. The books were opened. The books that give account of the people of earth. There's a great book, the book of life, Philippians 4:3. This is the book in which all true followers of Jesus Christ have their name written. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. There is a book of life in heaven, and the names of the redeemed are in that book. If you belong to Jesus Christ tonight, your name is written in that book. I think it's written in red with the precious blood of Christ. Luke 10, 19 to 20, Jesus said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, demonic powers, and over all the power of the enemy, the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What a place to rejoice in the Lord as we read that in our heart. Our names are written in heaven. Our names are in the Lamb's book of life. We belong to Jesus Christ, and we belong to Him forever. We're citizens of that heavenly kingdom. Revelation 20. There are other scriptures. I just have these three on the books. So now Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Books and the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of our lives. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth. A fire that shall never be quenched, the Bible says. Our names are in the book of life. Jesus Christ has paid the great sacrifice for us, and we have put our faith and trust in him. So there are these books, and there's a book of life, and Malachi 3, which we're dealing with tonight, has a book of remembrance. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. He said, I want those names. Who are those people? Who are those church members? Who are those men and women and children and young people that are desiring to gather unto me and worship and enjoy my presence? God says, I have a book of remembrance. I don't know about you, but I want my name in that book of remembrance. There's only one way to get it in. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it and hearkened, and their names were put down. Well, thank God for the great book of remembrance, and we can have our name entered there. Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. This special people who prize my name, who love to gather to my name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God says, these people who want to be together, who want to be in my presence, who love the gathering of the saints, these people are my special treasure. They are my special jewels. And when the presence of God shines on those jewels and through them, they light up in glorious display. These are a special people that have allowed the Lord to work on their lives and change them and really transform them. Beyond getting saved, these are sanctified. These are developed. These are refined. These are holy people. These are people who want God to work on them in every aspect of their life, that their life begins to shine forth the glory of God in an array of color, depending on where they are, the situation, the demand at hand. These are no longer diamonds in the rough. These people have been together in fellowship, often with one another. And, you know, iron sharpens iron, brothers and sisters, helping shape and cut. These people have been under the power of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, the divine gem cutter, has been able to cut and refine and polish and put his colors through these people. Take off some sharp edges. Take off some dullness on the gemstone. These come forth in glorious color. Worship, prayer, and fellowship. And my, do they shine in ministry and gifting. These precious jewels, God says, this is what I've created. I've taken them out of the earth. I've quarried them out of the earth. I'm shining my glory through them. Sapphires and diamonds and rubies and alexandrites, emeralds. When the glory of God begins to shine through a person, my, there's a beautiful display of color. Think of the ministry and the gifting and the callings of God, and how the colors of God shine through each one of us in our calling and ministry. My, this morning when we heard the powerful testimony of our Apostle Mohan from Nepal. Brilliance, color, colors of God just flashing through different aspects of light and understanding and of the glory of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ through him. That's the glory of God shining through his people. Each of us, a precious gem to be cut and refined and polished before the Lord. When the glory of God comes into the house, what a transformation. Come to church and begin to pray, begin to worship together, and all of a sudden the cloud of God's glory, the Bible says, comes into the house of the Lord, and all of a sudden the colors begin to show up and the saints begin to shine in radiance and glory. That's why when you look out on a worshiping congregation, it's one of the most beautiful sights you will ever see in this world. That's why when you hear a praying people, it's one of the most beautiful sounds you will ever hear in the world. The glory of God is shining through his people. The colors of God are dancing. Colors on display. God says, these people are under my special protection. These are the ones that I've been able to refine and really make my own. They've given their lives. They're not holding themselves back. They're saying, Lord, shape me, cut me, refine me, polish me. Everything I want, Lord, is that your glory would shine through my life. God says, I'm going to spare them as a man would spare his son. These people are under my special protection, God says. These people that have allowed me to work on them in their character, in their calling, in their worship, in their duty, these are the people that I will cover and I will watch over in a special way. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. This is quite the verse after the previous two. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. A book of remembrance was written, and they shall be my jewels, and I will cover and protect them. And then God says this, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between that him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Lord, what is this? When a people lose their love for the house of God, they lose their discernment. When a people lose their love for the house of God, they lose their discernment. You might want to put that down in your spirit tonight to help you in time of testing. When the enemy comes to you and says, you don't have to go to church so much. You don't have to have your family in the house of God so much. Take a break. Take it easy. It's just religion. It's just legalism. Then shall ye return and discern. When we lose our love for the house of God, we lose our discernment. This is the one of the most tragic things that can happen in the life of a Christian. I don't need to elaborate on this. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. I've seen it 1,000 times. And so have you. When people lose their love for the house of God, they lose their discernment between righteousness and wickedness, between what is right and what is wrong. And soon their life is filled with compromise and worldliness and half-hearted service and unwise decisions. When they lose their love for the house of the Lord, they lose their discernment between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Confusion sets in. They don't even know what is acceptable to the Lord. They come up with their own standard of how to serve the Lord and what God is interested, and they set standard instead of the powerful, beautiful standard of the Word of God. Then shall ye return. God says, if you stay close to my people, if you stay in my presence, if you love my house, if you love the gathering, God says, you will have discernment in your life. When people lose their love for the house of the Lord, it's like they even lose their taste for wholesome doctrine. Start to open up to all kinds of things. They lose their discernment for the doctrines, the true doctrines of the Lord. The discernment goes. They can hardly discern what's spiritual and what isn't, and how they should walk before the Lord. And it's just what the Scripture says. They lose that sense of discernment, that sense of clarity in the presence of the Lord. Well, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let's have the worship department come. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day all through the New Testament is the day of Christ, his second coming, the appearance of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. What is God's counsel? What is God's wisdom? So much the more. Not seldom, not less. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. We need to encourage one another to gather, to stay together, to press into the house of the Lord in worship, in adoration, in fellowship. This is the way of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25, what an indictment on a North American Christian culture that wants to gather less and less. I pray it'll change. I pray it'll turn. I trust God that it'll turn. And in this land, once again, there will be a flow to the house of the Lord like never before. And the Christians from all the places that they're hidden, in the dens and in the caves, will flow into the house of the Lord. And we will rise up as a mighty people of God. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And the churches in the land will be known for the glory of God, for the healing power of God that's in the midst of them, for the brilliant light of God that will shine and turn many to righteousness and salvation. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. They continued steadfastly. You know, I may be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but not in this house tonight, because you know the value of the corporate gathering, of the fellowship of the saints. Let's never forsake the passionate pursuit of God's presence and loving devotion to the saints, to love the Lord and to love his house. Let's stand together tonight.